Emmanuel. And a very warm welcome to you all, including those listening at home. If we have any visitors, please make yourselves known to us and join us for tea and coffee after the service. Robert is at Highworth, but we are very pleased to welcome Brian Elkington, who is from Highworth, who is leading this very special service. I thank Jeff and the choir in advance for what I know will be a very moving and uplifting service. For those listening at home, all the readings are from Matthew chapter 26 and 27. And the readers are Eddie and Helen Thomas, Helen Marsden, and Don MacArthur. I would like to draw your attention to our partnership Easter services, the first of which is the Agape Supper at Bath Road on Maundy Thursday. Please let Robert or myself know if you're thinking of attending so the catering team has some idea of numbers. However, this doesn't preclude you from attending anyway if you don't do that. There is a leaflet at the back of the church with all the Easter details. I will now light the Christ candle and the peace candle, and we will have a moment of quietness to prepare our thoughts for worship.
Good morning, friends.
Good morning.
We've come together this morning to worship God and to experience anew his presence in our lives. We've come to listen to the word and to inspiring music, which is good. But as we do so, let us keep in mind that we're not at a concert, we're at worship. So we begin as we sing together our first hymn. Christ is the world's light.
Thank you.
These days we tend to live in a culture which can seek, whenever possible, to put to the back of our minds those things which upset us, concern us, hurt us, or offend us. In fact, many try hard to put such things out of their minds altogether, not wanting to know. I suppose many in our churches can be just as guilty when it comes to the season of Lent and Passion Tide. There's a feeling of, oh, let's try to keep smiling, knowing that Easter is on its way. In any case, we don't want to be seen to be sad folks. It'll only turn people off Christianity even more. Yes, but the truth is that Lent and Passion Tide does ask us to reflect on the darker side of our faith. The times of temptation, the times of having doubts, of questioning why Jesus had to suffer and die, and why people turned against him and eventually hung him on a cross to die a painful and humiliating death. It's easy to see why many people want to blot out all of this in favour of praising a living, loving, resurrected Jesus. But deep down, we know that to each and everything, there is an opposite. As the writer of Ecclesiastes says, there is a time to live and a time to die. Sunshine and shadow, sadness and joy, silence and sound, all have a part to play. If you take away Lent and Passion Tide, we rob Easter of its true glory. After all, we need to remind ourselves that it was only through that death and resurrection that our faith came into being at all and stood apart from every other faith in the world. So this morning, you and I come to be reminded of what true sacrifice meant. We come to relive those painful memories in the story of Christ's suffering and of the part we played in that suffering, in that story. And our service helps us to reflect not only on the story of the Passion, but also on what it means to give up everything in order to live a life in the faith of resurrection. So let us hear again the story of what makes us followers of Jesus today.
Thank you. When it was evening, Jesus and the 12 disciples sat down to eat. While they were eating, Jesus took a piece of bread, gave a prayer of thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples. "Take and eat it," he said. "This is my body." Then he took a cup, gave thanks to God, and gave it to them. "Drink it, all of you," he said. "This is my blood, which seals God's covenant. My blood poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will never again drink this wine until the day I drink the new wine with you in my Father's kingdom." Then they sang a hymn and went out to the Mount of Olives. Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took with him Peter and two sons of Zebedee. Grief and anguish came over him, and he said to them, "The sorrow in my heart is so great that it crushes me. Stay here and keep watch with me." He went a little further on, threw himself face downwards on the ground, and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, take this cup of suffering from me. Yet not what I want, but what you want." He returned to the three disciples and found them asleep. And he said to Peter, "How is it that you three were not able to keep watch with me, even for 1 hour? Keep watch and pray that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." Once more, Jesus went away and prayed, "My Father, if this cup of suffering cannot be taken away unless I drink it, your will be done." He returned once more and found the disciples asleep. They could not keep their eyes open. Again, Jesus left them, went away and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then he returned to the disciples and said, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be handed over to the powers of sinners. Get up, let us go. Look, here is the man who is betraying me."
And the elders made their plans against Jesus to put him to death. They put him in chains, led him off, and handed him over to Pilate, the Roman governor. Jesus stood before the Roman governor, who questioned him. "Are you the king of the Jews?" he asked. "So you say," answered Jesus. But he said nothing in response to the accusations of the chief priests and elders. So Pilate said to him, "Don't you hear all these things they accuse you of?" But Jesus refused to answer a single word, with the result that the governor was greatly surprised. At every Passover festival, the Roman governor was in the habit of setting free any one prisoner the crowd asked for. At that time, there was a well-known prisoner named Jesus Barabbas. So when the crowd gathered, Pilate asked them, "Which one do you want me to set free for you, Jesus Barabbas or Jesus called the Messiah?" He knew very well that the Jewish authorities had handed Jesus over to him because they were jealous. While Pilate was sitting in the judgment hall, his wife sent him a message. "Have nothing to do with that innocent man, because in a dream last night I suffered much on account of him." The chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask Pilate to set Barabbas free and have Jesus put to death. But Pilate asked the crowd, "Which one of these two do you want me to set free for you?" "Barabbas," they answered. "What then shall I do with Jesus called the Messiah?" Pilate asked them. "Crucify him," they all answered. But Pilate asked, "What crime has he committed?" Then they started shouting at the tops of their voices, "Crucify him." When Pilate saw that it was no use to go on, but that a riot might break out, he took some water, washed his hands in front of the crowd, and said, "I am not responsible for the death of this man. This is your doing." The whole crowd answered, "Let the responsibility for his death fall on us and our children." Then Pilate set Barabbas free for them, and after he had Jesus whipped, he handed him over to be crucified.
Thank you.
Then Pilate's soldiers took Jesus into the governor's palace, and the whole company gathered round him. They stripped off his clothes and put a scarlet robe on him. Then they made a crown out of thorny branches and placed it on his head and put a stick in his right hand. They knelt before him and mocked him. "Long live the King of the Jews," they said. They spat on him and took the stick and hit him over the head. When they had finished mocking him, they took the robe off and put his own clothes back on him. Then they led him out to crucify him. As they were going out, they met a man from Cyrene named Simon, and the soldiers forced him to carry Jesus' cross. They came to a place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. There they offered Jesus wine mixed with a bitter substance, but after tasting it, he would not drink it. They crucified him and then divided his clothes among them by throwing dice. After that, they sat there and watched him. Above his head, they put a written notice of the accusation against him. "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." They crucified two bandits with Jesus, one on his right and one on his left. People passing by shook their heads and hurled insults at Jesus. "You were going to tear down the temple and build it up again in 3 days. Save yourself if you are God's son. Come on down from the cross." In the same way, the chief priests and teachers of the law and the elders jeered at him. "He saved others, but he cannot save himself. Isn't he the King of Israel? If he comes down off the cross now, we will believe in him. He trusts in God and claims to be God's son. Well then, let us see if God wants to save him now." Even the bandits who had been crucified with him insulted him in the same way.
At noon, the whole country was covered with darkness, which lasted for 3 hours. At about 3 o'clock, Jesus cried out with a loud shout, "Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani," which means, my God, why did you abandon me?" Some of the people standing there heard him and said, "He's calling for Elijah." One of them ran up at once, took a sponge, soaked it in cheap wine, put it on the end of a stick, and tried to make him drink it. But the others said, "Wait, let us see if Elijah is coming to save him." Jesus again gave a loud cry and breathed his last. Then the curtain hanging in the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook. The rocks split apart. The graves broke open. And many of God's people who had died were raised to life. They left the graves, and after Jesus rose from death, they went into the holy city where many people saw them. When the army officer and the soldiers with him who were watching Jesus saw the earthquake and everything else that happened, they were terrified and said, "He really was the Son of God." There were many women there looking on from a distance who had followed Jesus from Galilee and helped him. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, and the wife of Zebedee. When it was evening, a rich man from Arimathea arrived. His name was Joseph, and he also was a disciple of Jesus. He went into the presence of Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Pilate gave orders for the body to be given to Joseph. So Joseph took it, wrapped it in a new linen sheet, and placed it in his own tomb, which he had just recently dug out of solid rock. Then he rolled a large stone across the entrance to the tomb and went away. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were sitting there, facing the tomb.
My name is Sarah.
Let's pray together. Our Father God, we meet again at a time when, in one part of the world in particular, people are suffering from war. In other parts, they're suffering from different kinds of terror. In others, they're suffering still from the aftermath of the earthquakes. Father, we do pray for those who suffer. And we pray for the support for those who bring help. Lord, earthquakes are not our fault, but fighting and terror is the fault of mankind. We repent and seek your forgiveness for this. We remember too, Lord, this morning, those who are suffering because of all the effects of the cost of living, the difficulty of paying bills, and especially those who cannot find work. Father, be with them, strengthen them in their trials, and we ask that somehow you will work things out so that people are not left destitute, but that the rest of us may find ways of sharing. We pray for those who are suffering illness or personal tragedy, that you will be with them in their time of trial. Lord, sometimes we think bad things of our government, but we recognize that we need government. And we pray for those who take on our public office, that they may be given wisdom and integrity. Father, especially we do pray for your church here in this place, and our minister Robert, your church in Swindon, your church in wider and wider places across the globe. Father, may your Holy Spirit inspire those who seek to lead. Inspire those who follow. And all may be inspired by the inexhaustible supplies of your Holy Spirit. Father, for a few moments of silence, we renew our own personal prayers. Things we know about that others may not. In the name of Jesus, who died that we might pray, we bring these to you, Lord. Amen. Father God, it's with gladness that we bring these offerings to you today. We ask that you will bless them and give wisdom to those who have the spending of them, these offerings and those we bring in other ways. All are yours. In Jesus' name, amen. one solitary life. He was born in an obscure village, the child of a peasant woman. He worked in a carpenter's shop until he was 30. He then became a travelling preacher. He never held an office. He never had a family or owned a house. He didn't go to college. He had no credentials but himself. And he was only 33 when public opinion turned against him. He was crucified and laid in a borrowed grave. 20 centuries have come and gone, and today he is a central figure of the human race. All the armies that have ever marched, all the navies that have ever sailed, all the warplanes that have ever flown, and all the kings that have ever reigned, all the parliaments that ever sat, have not affected the life of man on this earth as much as that one solitary life. Before sharing the blessing, may I go off script to thank Jeff and the whole choir for a wonderful time. Thank you very much from the bottom of our hearts. In the cross, our peace and joy we've just sung. Whatever this week may bring, whatever the future may bring, may we always cling to that cross. And may the certainty that we enjoy the love of God be with all and with all those we love, now and forever. Amen.